Mini episode 1645 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here. With my fellow original FDH Lounge dignitary, Chris Galloway, we're breaking down division by division in 2023 for the NFL this season, giving you our previews. If you want to hear our overarching thoughts for the offseason and overarching thoughts for this season, go back to the beginning of the first one we did, the AFC East, where we cover it there. The rest of these are tightly focused on each division. This one specifically, the NFC East. Our format is taken from Fantasy Football Draftology 2023, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com. In that, we do have a segment called One Run-On Sentence for Each Team in the NFL. So the one run-on sentence that we have for the four teams in the NFC East, it goes as follows. Philadelphia. Howie Roseman created a lot of holes in the offseason, but then he filled most of them, thus keeping the Eagles as the definitive favorites in the NFC, albeit the effects of replacing both coordinators will remain to be seen. Dallas. It's a new era at running back, but of greater concern is the fact that the offensive line has holes and the defense, unbeknownst to most, has holes at every level, so the team is lucky to be playing in such a garbage conference and thus remains a playoff team. New York Giants. The ultimate test of whether Brian Daboll is a true magician is whether Danny Dimes has turned the corner for real, but regardless, issues in the trenches on both sides of the ball remain, along with a few more holes. Washington. Seriously unresolved issues at quarterback exist alongside holes in the trenches and elsewhere, thus marking this team as the true dumpster fire that nobody else sees coming. So, Chris, I told you I had one where I was sticking my neck way out there, and again, the funny thing is, I wrote those words before Ron Rivera, good old Riverboat Ron, threw his offensive coordinator under the bus, Eric Bieniemy, in training camp here. So perhaps I kind of anticipated a little bit of that. But notwithstanding the whole Ron Rivera thing after the fact, oh, I didn't actually mean that. Again, I think it gets at a little bit of what I was looking for out of that team. And again, Josh Harris, to me, if this all plays out, is going to be the luckiest man in America, because as a guy who takes over approximately 15 minutes before opening kickoff, for this team to go 3-14 and have the first pick in next year's draft potentially, like, what better situation could you come into? This season has the Dan Snyder stench all over it, not Josh Harris. So if it plays out the way that I think it's going to play out, Josh Harris is the luckiest man anywhere, because talk about getting a clean start from scratch.
Yeah, I don't see the Commanders being that wretched as you do. It's possible. I mean, look, they finished 8-1 last year and were in fourth. They were in last place.
Right.
I mean, so again, that's a tough. I mean, you go 500 and you're in last place. That's rough,
right.
Especially in the current NFL, right? I mean, 8-1 should be at least third place.
Right.
So the thing about the Commanders is I've got them at about 7 wins.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sam Howell will get better and better as the year goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a tough schedule. I mean, they're playing the 49ers. They're playing, you know, they're playing at Jets, you know.
Right.
They have to play their division. You know, they got to play the Bills. They're playing the East, right? So they're playing Miami and the Bills and the Jets. That's three tough games. So, again, I kind of came down on a slight regression.
Okay.
But I still have them at 7 wins. Mm-hmm. Because again, they'll get one against, you know, the Giants. They'll get one, I think, you know, probably at Atlanta. You know, they'll get a few, but, you know, honestly, they could be a 5 or 6 win team, but I'm kind of giving them a little benefit of the doubt. So I don't see them as the full dumpster fire you do.
Okay.
You know, I have the Giants slipping back. I have some regression there. And I have them, sitting there at 9-8.
Okay.
Just missing or just barely getting into the playoffs, depending on how some of the other, shake out. They have a lot of holes that some way, somehow, they just kind of, it's like every coin flip of luck, they kind of won last year, right?
Right.
Like, Dable's a good coach. They overplayed in terms of their ability. They got lucky on a whole bunch of fronts. Saquon stayed healthy. You know, that's a question mark. I mean, that guy could go down in a second and be out for half the season.
Right.
And then they're sunk. So I see them taking a little bit of a step back, being 9-8. They still have holes, in too many places, wide receiver, you know, cores, nothing to be even, you know, concerned about if you're defensive coordinator. Daniel Jones, again, a huge contract, but it's like, you know, okay, Daniel Jones, the 18th best quarterback in the league, you know, 17th best. It's like, okay, you paid him like a top five guy and, you know, it's like, yeesh.
Right.
But of course, I would also say, what choice do they have?
Well, yes. Agreed.
He got him to the playoffs. He's a young guy. He flashed last year. You didn't pick up his option. So you had to do something. If you don't re-sign him, you got nothing.
Really?
And so, you know, you're the Giants. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you pretty much had to re-sign Daniel Jones and hope that your coach and another year and he takes a step or even a half step forward.
Right.
But I don't see them, look, they won a playoff game last year. They went on the road to do it. That was a game I predicted that they would win.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, they did. And then of course they bounced right out as I thought, but
good.
I see them regressing a little bit. The Eagles, I see winning the division. Over the, you know, they'll be better than the Cowboys. The Cowboys are just, you know, to me, are just the perennial stars everywhere, underperform. And I say that as a Cowboys fan.
Right.
Like, year after year, it's like, this is the year. And I'm just like, is it? You know, God, maybe they've become Brazil. you know, and so I have the Cowboys, you know, winning 10 games, 10-7. And just being who we thought they are, right? Like, Mike McCarthy taking over play calling. Yeah, okay. I'm not a Mike McCarthy fan. We'll see how that goes.
Right.
So they brought in Brandon Cooks. I mean, he's a little older. You know, I don't know. I feel like they are a playoff team. They will compete. They will flash some points where you'll go, wow. And then they'll have those games you go, what just happened? And that's just the Cowboys, man. It's been the Cowboys for nearly 30 years at this point.
That's right.
And so I've got them at 10-7, and then I've got, you know, now like I said, I've got the Eagles, winning the division, and ultimately I have the Eagles winning the NFC again and going back to the Super Bowl, mostly because I don't see anybody else in the NFC who's ready or capable of dethroning them.
Exactly.
And we'll get into that with the other divisions, but, you know, as long as Jalen Hurts is healthy, and we saw against the Browns in the preseason, if Hurts goes down, they are doomed. Because Marcus Mariota was god-awful the other night.
Yep.
22 dropbacks resulted in 80 yards of passing.
Yep.
He was bad. And so they are, I mean, that is Jalen Hurts' team. If he's on the field, they are really hard to beat. I mean, and look, you know, as we all know, Philadelphia is, we ought to call them the Philadelphia Bulldogs. there, you know, Jalen Carter looks like the real deal. You know, he slipped because of personal issues.
Yep.
He was the most talented guy in the draft, and Philadelphia gets him to add to that front. I mean, that defense is for real. That yep. front is going to terrorize anybody.
Exactly.
And it's going to make it really hard for any quarterback to thrive against them.
Yeah.
And if Jalen Carter is as good as he looks like he is so far in the preseason, adding to that already dominant front, look out, everybody. I mean, we watched Jalen Carter on like back-to-back plays just completely dominate All-Pro Joe Bitonio.
Right.
Like, threw him to the ground at one point.
Yeah.
Like, that's a rookie taking on, you know, and again, small sample size, you know, Browns fans, don't panic, Joe Bitonio's fine.
Yeah.
But when you can flash that as a rookie against a guy like that, that's when you stop and that's when you're the observer that, you know, time pauses and you go, oh, oh, like he's going to be dominant. Exactly. So I've got the Eagles winning 13 games. Again, assuming Jalen Hurts is healthy, you know, they're for real. And I have them winning the NFC East. I have them winning the NFC, and I have them going right to the Super Bowl because I don't see anyone else in the NFC who's even ready to dethrone them.
Exactly. I mean, Howie Roseman isn't, but he could be out here saying, "Keep on my devil!" Because the rest of the conference really just isn't. And we'll get into this subsequently here when we get to the NFC West, but a lot of people feel like the gap between them and the 49ers is really close. And, oh, 49ers hadn't had Purdy go down, who knows what would have happened. I'll tell you what would have happened, the same thing. Maybe not a rout, but it would have been a decisive Eagles win. The 49ers, largely because of the questions at the quarterback position, and again, other questions I have about them, they're not quite on the Eagles level, and the other divisional champions out there, and you got to put it in air quotes when you talk about the NFC South, and even in the NFC North. I think there's going to be a lot of upheaval. We'll talk about that in the next segment here, but just up and down the line, process of elimination, who's out there that can really give the Eagles a run for their money? Everybody in that conference really should be praying for, as you said, and that's a pretty vile thing to pray for, Jalen Hurts to go down, because most teams out there are just one quarterback injury away from being just like everybody else. And that's where the Eagles are, you know, with Mariota out there. Mariota's still with a great team, but the Eagles are not a Super Bowl team if he's out there. But short of that, what's going to stop the Eagles? You and I just don't see anything.
No, nothing's stopping the Eagles if Hurts is healthy and playing.
Yes.
I mean, nothing, not a thing.
Yeah.
Not with that defense.
Yeah.
Nope, not with that defensive front and that quarterback, not happening.
Well, yeah, and again, continuing to get better here, this is going to be year two of A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith playing together. And this is where, in talking to FDH senior editor Jason Jones, he was telling me about some idiot show online that was saying that the Browns had the best receiver room in the league, thus overlooking the Dolphins, the Cowboys, and, oh, by the way, the Eagles as well. And it's just utterly insane. I mean, for the Eagles, they've got to be in that conversation. Not the Browns, but certainly the Eagles might be.
Well, that is an idiotic conversation. I mean, I'm a Browns fan.
Yeah.
The wide receiver core is improved.
Yeah.
It has a great amount of potential.
Yeah, but slow your roll.
We haven't seen it yet.
Right.
And so, no, yeah, I would agree with that. But unless somebody was trying to make a 1-7 argument and somehow they felt the bottom of the Browns receiver room was better significantly than the bottom of the Eagles room. I can't even imagine what the argument would be.
Yeah.
But not with Smith and Brown at the top. I'm just like, yeah, no, you're done.
Yeah, they don't give you an award for having the best 53rd player in the league. There's nothing that comes with that.
Yeah, no, it's like a guy is gonna see, you know, 40 snaps this year.
Yeah,
okay, he may be better than your guy that sees 40 snaps. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
So there's nobody in the NFC, and look, the 49ers are a great team. team, great talent, we'll get into it, great coach, right? But, you know, it's quarterback that's going to hold them back.
Yep.
And so, you know, we'll talk about that momentarily. But they're not at the Eagles level. There's nobody in the North or South that's at the Eagles level.
Yep.
And so unless the Cowboys can put it all together and knock down the Eagles, the NFC is the Eagles to lose.
Exactly.
Unless the Cowboys can get it done in the East to put the Eagles into some sort of precarious wild card spot, it's not happening. And so, that's asking the Cowboys to be what they haven't been in 30 years.
Right.
And so why would you expect them to suddenly have the mental constitution to be able to do that to the Eagles when, look, the Cowboys have talent. They have talent in that roster.
Yep.
They're loaded with talent all over the place. But a lot like my criticisms of the Browns have been, is the mental constitution, the toughness factor.
Yep.
You know, the ability to sometimes grab defeat from the jaws of victory. The Browns and the Cowboys, you know, really share that attribute.
They do.
I don't see that changing this year. I see the Eagles easily winning the East. I see them being so dominant with that front seven. I'm not even a second thought otherwise.
Well, exactly. And so I think if we were to sum it up in one statement, it would probably be this. If there are not already Championship Sunday tickets available for Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, what are you waiting for? Put them up on StubHub because that's where it's going to be. We all know it, Chris Galloway.
Well, I will throw one thing out. I think you briefly referenced it. It is the coaching changes of the Eagles.
Yes.
That is one place where historically teams that were as good and dominant lose coordinators. They lost coordinators, and I mean, at some point that matters. Like,
yeah.
I argue that with the Bills. They lost Dable. I watched a regression in Josh Allen last year. So, look, to me, it's like, do the Eagles go 14-3, or does it now, maybe they go, you know, do they go 12-5 because of that?
Right.
That's what we may be looking at, you know. The coordinator thing may cost them a game or two as they work through, you know, their own system. And that typically happens. Most teams that lose coordinators like that will have a setback.
Yes.
Right? But it's not going to be enough. It's going to cost them much by the end of the year.
Yeah. No,
you know, instead of being 14-3, are they 12-5? Either way, they're winning the East.
Yep.
And they're probably the number one, or worst, the number two seed in the NFC.
Yes. I've got them as the number one seed at 12-5. I've got Dallas as a wild card at 11-6. Giants at 7-10. And as I said, the shocking pick of Washington at 4-13, which others will not agree with here. But, it's not going to bring Philadelphia back to the pack. Now, I noted the coordinator changes because that's one of those things where the very definition of a run-on sentence is you're trying to pack in everything that's relevant to a team for this season. So it's relevant. It's part of their story, Chris, but you and I agree that it's not nearly enough to bring them back to the pack.
Correct.
And that's where we stand. Any other thoughts on what looks to be a pretty cut-and-dried NFC East for the most part?
How about them Cowboys? Underachieving again.
That's right. That's right. You can look forward to that. With all due apologies to our great friend Maya Master, the Cowboys are going to come up short yet again. And thus the circle of life continues. The curse of Jimmy Johnson, or whatever you want to call it. But that is the NFC East for 2023. That's our preview. Thank you very much, Chris Galloway. Up next, it's the NFC North. Thank you, everybody, for checking out this mini episode of the FBH Lounge.